Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, as we meditate for a few minutes on what the cross is all about, we pray, dear Father, that you will enlighten our minds, and make us ready for that day when we can fellowship with you face to face. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The cross is the central part of our belief. Without the cross, there's no salvation. The question that was raised and flung in Jesus' face that day was, "Let him come down." The challenge was flung into the teeth of the Galilean by cultured voices that were now disdainful, mocking, bitter. The owners of the voices felt that they had their man just where they wanted him, on the cross, nailed there by spikes through his hands and through his feet, lifted up above the earth in full sight of men, beneath the light of the noontide sun. Perhaps others would learn from the faith of this new teacher, learn what it meant to speak out against the authority of those who sat in Moses' seat. Let him come down. He may have worsted them in the bitter battles or bitter debates in which they sought to humble him. He may have eluded the double-pronged dilemmas upon which they had hoped to spike him. But where was his debating prowess now? Where were those miracles to prove his connection with God now? And where were those loyal disciples? And incidentally, where was his heavenly Father now? The questions were accompanied by derisive laughter in which these men who stood in holy office, who bore the sacred vestments of Aaron and served as intermediators between the people and their God. These men, in their laughter, tried to outdo each other in showing their hatred, their venom, and their spite. All this was implicit in their challenge. Let him come down. It was true. He had escaped the mob intent on murdering him at Nazareth. True, he had passed through the midst when they would have taken him in the temple. True, he had held spellbound the officers sent out to take him captive. But they had him now. Let him come down now. They reminded one another of his many pretentious claims. And as his now battered body sagged and wreathed on the gibbet, they cast some reminders up at him. "I say, thou that destroyest a temple and buildest it in 3 days, save yourself." "Oh, yes. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Dost thou not remember thou art the Son of God? Great healer, great resurrection man, look at your sagging head, your bloody beard, your puny arms. Save thyself, heal thyself." He saved others. Himself he cannot save. A newcomer read above aloud the inscription written above the cross: "King of the Jews." A new tirade of abuse broke out. "Supposed to be the King of the Jews, is he? Ha! Well, if he be the King of the Jews, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him, won't we? Let God deliver thee now, if he will have you. We're ready, waiting, watching. We're all here." But what if he had come down? What if he had released his hands from those cruel spikes and then released his feet and jumped nimbly down from the cross, had stood there before his cruel tormentors in a blaze of glory. What if he'd come down? Would those vaunted priests and rabbis have fled in terror, pale with fear, pushing and jostling one another, trying to get away from him? Or would they have descended upon their prey like a pack of wild, ravenous dogs, ready to tear their quarry limb from limb? What does it matter? He did not come down. Perhaps he could not come down. Perhaps there was one thing too difficult for him to do. One miracle even he could not perform. Could that be possible? Had he not restored just a little while ago, the severed ear of that soldier, placed it back on the man's head? Had he not called to life a man whose body was already rotting? Had he not restored sight to blind eyes? Had he not replaced the rotted fingers, toes, and nose of the tragic victims of that dreaded leprosy? Had he not rehabilitated maniacs with a word? Could not he have come down from the cross? Yes. Of course he could have come down. 1,000 times, yes. If death and the grave could not hold him when he was dead, could he not have resisted their power when he was still alive? Could not he who released his hands from the mob in the Garden of Gethsemane have released those same hands from the soldiers who were to nail him to the cross? He had said, "I can call 12 legions of angels to come to my aid." What if he had called them? Certainly, he could have come down from the cross. And yet, he couldn't come down from the cross. At least he didn't come down. But what if he had? What if he had come down? What if he had responded to the challenge of the scribes and rulers? He had abundance of power to come down from that cross, but he was held there, held by a force which he could not deny or gainsay. The spikes didn't hold him there. The spikes through his feet, those jagged spikes that was driven through his hands, that didn't hold him there. It was not the fear of the Roman guard nor the fear of the spineless Roman governor Pilate that held him there. Dear people, it was just one thing that held him there. That one thing was the eternal love of God for man. He could not come down from the cross and remain true to his real self. He could not come down and yet show that love leads to the absolute and complete surrender of self to the service of others. Dear people, there it is. He could not come down from the cross and yet remain true to his real self. He could not come down and yet show that love leads to the absolute and complete surrender of self to the service of others. He could not come down and yet show that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for it. He could not come down and yet demonstrate that in faith as the eternal Son of God, he had power to lay down his life and power to take it up again. Christ could not come down from the cross and still fulfill the word of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God. That was it. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb that in the plan of God had been slain from the foundation of this world. Jesus could not come down from the cross and violate the promise that he had made to Adam and Eve in Eden, that the seed of woman was to bruise the head of the serpent. He could not come down and still be the personal counterpart of all the lambs and kids and goats that had been slain since Eden in the appointed sacrifices. Those sacrifices that were to man a perpetual reminder of his sin and an acknowledgement of it. He could not come down without denying that by the shedding of blood, the blood of the Lamb of God, there would be remission and forgiveness of sin. Aren't you thrilled this morning that he didn't come down? He could not come down from the cross. To hang on the cross, to die on the cross, was to carry to completion the mysterious purpose of Christ's declaration that he had made from the throne of God. Listen to this. A body thou hast prepared me. Lo, I come to do thy will, O my God. When the mocking priest had declared he saved others, himself he cannot save, they gave voice unwittingly to a profound truth. It was truth, so true. Christ could not save himself and save man too, as he had taught, except the corn of grain fall into the ground and die, it abided alone. Christ could not have saved himself. Pardon me. Christ could have saved himself. Christ could have saved himself, but not you and me too. To save man, he had to die. But that nagging question, what if he had come down? What if Jesus had come down from the cross? Where would we be this morning, this 14th day of July, 2012? Oh, dear brother, dear sister, there's hope this morning. There's hope. Because the price for you and me has been paid. We are here this morning because Jesus offered his life as a ransom for you and me. He bought back what Adam and Eve gave away when they sinned. And now, dear friend, there's hope for every human being living today. There's hope not only of life now, but eternal life with Jesus, all the saints and angels. Isn't that going to be wonderful? I'm looking forward to that. We're told in Paul's address to us in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, by entering into this service, we show the Lord's death till he comes. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and he's coming again for us. So this morning, dear brother, dear sister, I want you to think about this service. We participate of these emblems this morning. Jesus said to his disciples as he handed them the bread, "This is my body, which was given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood which is shed for you. He said, this do in remembrance of me. The Seventh-day Adventist Church, we practice open communion. That means you don't have to be a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church to participate. We do ask that our children observe until they be baptized, that they wait until the time that is prescribed. But if you're a member of another church, you're visiting us this morning, we invite you to participate with us in this communion service. You know, the Lord gave special instruction to the Seventh-day Adventist, His believers, Seventh-day Adventist, if I may say so, because those disciples were Seventh-day Adventist. They believed in the Sabbath. They looked forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. So, Jesus gave special instructions to them. Those disciples were filled with envy, strife. They were arguing about who was the greatest. When they entered that upper room that evening, that Thursday evening, it was the responsibility of one of them to wash the feet. But they weren't going to humble themselves. They weren't going to do that. Not me. So each of them took a seat around the table. John, one next to Jesus on one side. Judas, not being going to be outdone, he took the seat on the other side of Jesus. They sat around that table. They were waiting. No one was willing to get up and serve. Jesus was waiting to see if one of the disciples would be humbled enough to do that service. Jesus stood up, went over to where the basin was, took off his outer coat, wrapped the towel around him, poured water in the basin, started washing his disciples' feet. I came to Peter, he says, you'll never wash my feet. Jesus said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you'll have no part of me. Peter was humbled and he said, Lord, I need a complete bath. No, Jesus says, you're not all clean, but the foot washing will take care of that. You know, dear people, sometimes we think about we need to be rebaptized. Actually, the ceremony that we enter into now is a mini baptism, because this is where we take care of sin problems that may have happened this past quarter, past year, or whenever we last. This is the time when things are made right with fellow members of the church. Maybe there's some brother and some sister that we need to go to and say, I'm sorry. I've held things against you. I want you to forgive me. I must tell you this experience. Ellen White was at a camp meeting. She got up to speak. Now, it wasn't Ellen White that got up to speak, but she was at a camp meeting, and the speaker got up to speak. And before he got up to speak, he looked at one of the men in the audience. He says, before I speak this morning, I've got something to say. And he called the man by name and he says, brother, I've got some feelings against you that I need to make right. He went over to the man. And he says, will you forgive me? And the man says, of course. And I've got feelings against you. Will you forgive me? And it went around the whole audience. Brother would get up and say, I've got some things I've got to confess and put aside. Another sister would say the same thing. And it was a spirit that went over the entire congregation. People were confessing their sins and asking forgiveness. She says it was a Pentecostal revival. Then comes the sad part. It was only a vision. All this, the Lord was waiting for His people to do, that they might enter in an experience and receive the latter rain. Are you willing? Am I willing to enter into a similar experience? This is what this service is all about. Heavenly Father, this is the service that you so desperately want us to participate in, that we might clear the air, so to speak, of anything that would stand between us and you, that we might receive the outpouring of the latter rain, and our church can go forward, looking forward to and hastening the coming of Jesus. Oh, descend upon us now, Father, as we participate in this most sacred service, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.